Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I want everybody to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, and hit that subscribe button. And let everybody know we're here ready to do our thing bright and early. What we're going to do now, family, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So you don't move a muscle because we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Check out my dude, Kevin Derrick Gentry, a.k.a. the Boss Hog Macaroni, the relationship coach. He's offering a one-hour free phone call about getting women, stepping your game up, how to make the ladies fall in love with you, how to get respect from your peers, how to become an alpha male, and how to step your money game up. My man is real thorough with the game. You can check out his YouTube at The Boss Hog Macaroni. Also, give my dude a call at 770-946-2453. Also, try him at 404-207-5640. What's up, guys? Check out the brand new album by Professor Archibald called Surviving America. This is his second album, and you're going to really love it and enjoy it. This album is streaming on all platforms, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, Apple. Get it right now on all those platforms. Also, if you are an artist, filmmaker, video game creator, or if you have a podcast and you need background music or any other type of music production work, you can contact him via email at archiebeats28@gmail.com, or you can DM him on Twitter at archieprofess. That's archieprofess. Listen up, family. This is the decade for black empowerment, so step into the new year looking and feeling empowered with On Code Clothing. This thing of ours is exclusive. It's codified gear for the melanated family, so stop everything right now and go to oncodeclothing.com. And while you're there, check out the BCU collection, a collection of collegiate apparel honoring some of the best educators, entrepreneurs, and freedom fighters in our society. We are the alumni of the Black American Experience, so represent your scholar by going to OnCodeClothing.com right now. What's up, family? If you make music but you struggle with getting that professional sound, then you need to reach out to my guys over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need and they get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the board, their expertise is off the charts. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price. It's simple, it's easy. Go to LegendaryMix.com right now. Send an email or text for more details and don't hesitate. Go to LegendaryMix.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H Report 2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Are you an employee looking to document mistreatment? Are you a citizen looking to record encounters with law enforcement officers? The 8GB Voice Recorder Watch from RecorderWatch.com may be the solution for you. Key features include voice-activated recording, time and date-stamped files, password protection, long battery life. Rely on documented audio and not your memory by heading over to RecorderWatch.com and purchase the 8GB Voice Recorder Watch today.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's up, guys? We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We are here during the quarantine of 2020. We are locked down. During the quarantine. So everybody, first of all, thank y'all for tuning in. Everybody hit the thumbs up button right now while you're listening. Let's get that out the way. Everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button and hit the subscribe button. All the new people here, hit that subscribe button so we can be able to communicate with each other, because we're going to have to give updates on a regular basis right now with all this stuff going on. Before I get into the show, shout out to everybody. We're still getting your packages out. We're still getting the Black History Month packages out. We're still getting those out. We've gotten some people saying, hey, we haven't gotten our packages yet. We still have a few more to go. And plus, there's still a delay because of the mail and the quarantine and all that stuff. But you're getting your stuff, so don't worry. Everybody's going to get their Black History package. You're definitely going to get it. So everybody sit tight and hang tight. And you will definitely get your joints. Where are my LA people? All my LA people. There's going to be a lockdown out here in LA from what I understand. They're going to put LA on a full lockdown. I've been hearing rumblings of that. I want all my LA people to be ready. Because I'm already hearing either by later today or by tomorrow, sometime this weekend, they're going to put LA on a full lockdown. I've been hearing this. Okay? I want all my LA people to be ready. So we got to be serious about some things. A lot of this stuff starts off in LA first, because remember, California, as our brother Neely Fuller says, it's an experimental city. I mean, it's an experimental state. They do a lot of experimenting out here in California. So whatever starts out here, it's going to go out throughout the whole nation. So up there in Northern California, they do a lot of experiments up there. That's why I tell you a lot of stuff comes out of San Francisco. They've always done experiments, social experiments, scientific experiments coming out of San Francisco. And as you notice, they locked San Francisco down first. That was one of the first cities that they really locked down, and they're about to lock LA down. What they're going to do, they're getting the National Guard and all these people ready now. They're sending them out here. And remember, they've been kind of planning for this, if we're going to be very honest about it. This is why, you know, I want to know, how long did they know about this epidemic? Was this something that they knew was going to pop off, or what? Remember, last year, they were doing drills downtown Los Angeles. If you go back and listen to the archives of my broadcast, they were doing drills, practice drills. This was right before the assassination of Nipsey Hussle, but they were doing these drills downtown Los Angeles, if you remember. All my LA people, remember? So they've been getting ready. See, when they start doing all these little drills and all this stuff, you better be ready. When I saw that happening, I said, okay, let me stock up on some more stuff. And thank goodness I did. So they've been using little lightweight terms like shelter in place. You know, that doesn't sound as bad as martial law, which is what they're about to do. Martial law is about to kick in, family. martial law is about to kick in. And when you say martial law, that sounds scary, because it is scary, because that's a military lockdown. So they use little cute terms like, well, a shelter in place. That sounds innocent, doesn't it? When I hear little terms like that, that those terms that are deliberately designed to make something sound more innocent than what it is, that really puts me on alert. When they start using that shelter in place shit, I said, uh-oh, let me get me a couple of more bags of water here. I don't like the way that sounds. Here they go with the bullshit. Yeah, when they start saying mandatory, we're going to have mandatory lockdowns. Okay, what's the punishment if you don't? You see, this is why we got to be serious. See, when folks like me start talking about this stuff way beforehand, when I start telling people, hey, y'all might need to go to this company here and stock up on some food. Oh, that's Tariq talking that Hotep shit. Where are the coons now? See, the coons come out at night, and the coons got a lot to say when we're telling people in advance what needs to be done and how they should take precautions, and all the coons jump up, oh no, that's that Hotep shit. I'm trying to get a zaddy. I'm trying to turn up. Why y'all listening to that Hotep shit that he's talking about? See, now there's another virus out here. See, we got two viruses. We got Corona and we got the Coonronavirus. The Coonronavirus is running rampant out here because, see, people are still trying to scramble and coon. See, they've been doing all of this cooning and they are unprepared. So now they want to ramp up the cooning. Hopefully that white mommy or Asian daddy or zaddy is going to come swoop down and save them if they just coon hard enough. And the Coonronavirus ain't going to save you. Either the coons are real silent or the coons are real vocal right now. They're trying to cape for every other person. The coons are really trying to shut the hell up, or they're trying to cape hard. The Coonronavirus is rampant right now. And as you see, a lot of people are trying to show their camaraderie, low-key and high-key, for other cultures as if that's going to save them. I saw something on Instagram where Zoe Kravitz, the actress Zoe Kravitz, so she said something very interesting. You know, it raised an eyebrow. I'm not putting her on the coon train, but it just sounded real interesting. She was taking a picture, and she looked real light, and somebody in the comment section was like, wow, you look kind of white. And she said something to the effect of, well, that's what happened when you're quarantined, you can't go out the house, and you're mixed. She said something to that effect. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but she said something about her being mixed. And I'm wondering, I'm like, who in the fuck is, what's she mixed with? Aren't both of her parents black? Hold on, wait. Zoe Kravitz, both of her parents are black, so what's she talking about? What the hell is she talking about? Mixed with what? What are you talking about, you mixed? What kills me, these niggas with two black parents, both her mama is Lisa Bonet and her dad is Lenny Kravitz. Both of them are black. It kills me when niggas have a white or Asian or some other race grandparent or great-grandparent, but these niggas running around here talking about they goddamn mixed. Lenny is black. So these niggas think if your parents are mixed with something, that means you mixed too. That's just desperation. That shit ain't gonna save you. Not in these times. Y'all better start getting codified and grabbing onto your blackness. All of that I'm mixed bullshit, that ain't gonna save you right now. White people out here, they're circling their damn wagons. Right now, man, this is like about to become Mad Max of the Thunderdome any minute now, man. We're in a very trying time right now. Yeah, Lisa Bonet ain't even mixed, from what I understand. She's just hella light-skinned. I know Lenny Kravitz is mixed. His mom is Roxy Roker. She played, was it Helen Willis on The Jeffersons? That was Lenny Kravitz's mom. But still, that nigga's black. But I'm just saying, that kind of talk Niggas be talking like that, like that's going to somehow save them or ingratiate them with some other group. And we've been seeing this hardcore coon virus, coronavirus, running rampant now. And the sickening thing that I've been seeing, now I've been seeing all of these mammies, and I've been seeing all of these bed wenches trying to cape for Asians now. Have y'all seen that? They're going out of their way to cape for Asians because now Asian people are getting the business because of the coronavirus. They're calling it the China virus, and they're like, oh my God, y'all can't call it that because that's going to leave a negative stigma on Chinese people. Well, join the damn club. It ain't our job to put the cape on for you. And they've done that with viruses coming out of Africa for the longest. They've always done that. They've racialized different viruses, and they knew that those racial categories would create a stigma for black people. They had no problem doing that. With the Zika virus, the Ebola, all of the West Nile, all of these Africanized names on these viruses, they know that it creates a negative stigma. They have no problem doing that. As long as the racism is affecting black people, nobody has a problem with it. But if the racism starts, the same tactics start hitting other groups, all of a sudden we're supposed to stop the presses. No. Hold your own damn nuts. Black folks, it ain't your goddamn job to be out here caping for no damn body. They don't cape for us, you don't cape for them. And I've been seeing sick-ass Negroes trying to cape for Asians as if they gonna save you. What they gonna do for you? They're not gonna save you. All this caping, y'all been caping for Asians for the last 50 years and they ain't done shit to help you. When they, and I talked about this on my last broadcast a few weeks ago about the Yellow Peril, back in the, during the our Jim Crow era, when black people were fighting for our civil rights and Asians were trickling over here and they were being marginalized because their countries were really at war with the United States, so it was somewhat justified. Black people put on the cape for them. Black people said, okay, we're going to fight for their civil rights too. We're going to fight to help get them to immigrate over here. We're going to be their economic base. We're going to support their businesses. We're going to support their movies. All those cheap Chinese movies that came over here, those karate movies, it was black people supporting that shit. We're going to take them under our wing to a certain degree. We're going to include them in our civil rights bills and our minority coalitions and all of the little resources and set-asides. We don't have a problem sharing them with the Asians. We were on that. While they were stacking up their money, leaving us out of any type of economic sharing, they didn't share nothing with us and still don't. We've been caping for these people for 50 years for absolutely nothing. What the fuck do we have to show for caping for these folks? We don't have to mistreat nobody, but damn if we have to cape for you. We don't have to cape for you. Yeah, they're talking about getting them a form of reparations now. The Asian people, they've been marginalized for a month, and they're already talking about getting them some damn reparations. No questions asked. They've been marginalized for a damn month. We've been marginalized for 400 years. They've been marginalized for a month. They're talking about we're going to study reparations for Negroes, and they're talking about getting economic packages for Asians right now. You understand? We, this whole doormat thing that we've been accustomed to and these Negroes out here caping for them, no, that's going to have to stop. That coon coronavirus within some of these Negroes is going to have to stop. Negroes running out here with the coon coronavirus, caping for other people. You're an enemy of black society. And I've reposted some tweets. There's some bed wenches and mammies, and they all have the same MO. It's always one of these mammies, bed wenches, a couple of them out here. Usually they're people from some type of foreign background. There's one mammy talking about, are there any Asian-owned businesses in LA that are still open and need customers? I'm willing to drive as far as north. I'm willing to drive as far north as Santa Clarita or as far south as Long Beach. Now, if my all my SoCal people know, that's a long-ass distance. This mammy, and I, she's sitting up here with a real bad, crooked wig on. This mammy is talking about driving, how long is that? It's about 100 miles, ain't it? From Santa Clarita to Long Beach, how many miles is that? Ain't that about a, that's about damn near 100 miles. If I'm not mistaken, that's a long ass distance this mammy is willing to drive to support Asian businesses. And then when you look through more of her tweets, she was married to a white man and all this. So all these bedwinches all have the same MO. There was another mammy I tweeted today. Because we're pointing all of them out. This woman was like, if you plan on ordering food, please order from your local Chinese food restaurant. They're currently suffering financially from this crisis, and it really makes me upset. So she's some mammy who's, and you go through her tweets, and all her tweets are like, oh, I love me some white boys. Ooh, zaddy this, and I'm so attracted to white boys. I need to stop obsessing over white men. So she's begging white men to love her. You understand? So these mammies and bedwinches, they're using this as an opportunity to show their coonrona sicknesses out here. They won't lift a finger to support a black business to save their lives, but now they want to put on the damn cape for Asians, and Asians wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. The Asian community, we don't owe them nothing. We've done enough for them. We've done enough for the Asian community. We don't owe you anything. We treat them the same way they treat us. We should treat them the exact same way they treat us. What do we have to show for doing all that caping and creating an economic base for the Asian community? What we got? Natasha Harlings, a 15-year-old black girl getting her brains blown out by an Asian store owner, and the homies from the hood burn that damn store down, by the way. What do we have? Peter Liang and the whole Asian community in America getting together, supporting him, marching, talking about he shouldn't go to jail for killing a black man. That's what we got. What do we have? That hopper, that half Asian, half white cop out there in Oklahoma raping dozens of black women. That's what we get. While we're caping, that's what we get. We got Michelle Malkin, the Filipino, out here caping for him, talking about the black women damn near deserve to get raped, and she's trying to help get him out of jail. That's what we got. We got all these Asians out here trying to click up with the alt-right. That's what we got in return for doing all that caping. What do we have? We got all these black women getting beaten with broomsticks at these nail shops by Asians. White, not white, but Asian men trying to be white men, beating sisters up, punching them all in the face in beauty supply stores all over the country. That's what we have. Daniel Holtzclaw, that's his name. That hopper, another hopper, Elliot Rogers, who wrote his manifesto hating on black men because they were banging some white women and he wanted to be white, so he went on a killing spree. That's what we got. There's not one benefit you can point to that we've gotten for caping for these people. Not one. What, some chicken fried rice? And that ain't even real chicken. Let's just keep it a buck. Let's stop being some low self-esteem Sambos caping for people who don't do shit for you. We don't need chicken fried rice. We don't need their food. We don't need that. They don't give us anything we need. We don't really need their nails. You don't really need their weeds. Excuse me, guys. You don't need that. That's not a necessity. But see, the thing is, there's a lot of these mammies and bedwinches out here who have low self-esteem and they want to run away from their blackness so much. They can't identify with white women. Excuse me, guys. I don't have corona. I'm sneezing. I got a tickle in my nose. They don't identify, they can't identify with white women because white women let them know how they feel about them. You know, they get around white women. Some of these mammies and bedwinches, they get around white women and white women let you know that you are lower than them. You're just the help. White women let you know that. Somebody said, oh, another sneeze. Uh-oh, nigga, I'm all right. I ain't got the goddamn coronas. I don't have the coronas. Nigga. But these bedwinches and mammies, they can't identify with white women because white women let them know, you ain't one of us. You see every day, you don't have the privileges and the benefits that white womanhood brings us. So you'll never have that Negro woman. So the next best thing is for them to try to identify with a non-white other or an honorary white person, which are Asian women. This is why a lot of these hood rats love being up there in those nail shops with those Asian women, because they feel like they have some kind of camaraderie. They're non-white others, so they think they can relate to them. This is why you notice a lot of these hood rat rappers, a lot of these female rappers and entertainers, and even chicks in the hood, they always try to have these little names that identify or try to identify with some type of Asian culture. Black China, Tokyo Tony, Asian Doll. What was Nicki Minaj's record? Chun Li, whatever that was. Remember, Foxy Brown's running around here talking about Filipino. Talking about she Filipino or some shit. She's supposed to be Trinidadian Asian, some shit that she's supposed to be claiming. You understand? You always see some chick in the hood with some Chinese writing on her arm. Asia Doll, China Girl, Sexy China. Always trying to call themselves China something. These chicks trying to do their eyes. If you look at some of these chicks' eyes, they try to do their makeup so that their eyes look slanted. That's very popular in the hood. Trying to do their eyes and make it seem like their eyes are slanted. You understand? Trying to claim some type of Asian identity. That's some hood rat shit. But we got to understand the game out here. The coronavirus is heavy, and these niggas caping for these Asians out here. Did y'all see Simone Sanders? That's Bernie Sanders' mammy. She was on TV caping for Asians too, talking about how offensive it was to call the virus the Chinese virus, and people are offended by that, and she's on there hella husky. She's getting husky as hell. Let me play the clip of that real quick. That's another thing. Simone Sanders, she's getting huskier and huskier, by the way. She's on here big as hell. Let me find that clip. So she's on here. Here she is.
Lead from the front. And so what President Trump came out and some of what he announced today was, it's a tough job, but it has to be done. And some of what he said today was good. But the reality is he also stood at the podium and called the coronavirus COVID-19 what I would suggest is a racial slur. It's something that is offensive to me, Chinese Americans.
To call it a Chinese virus when it originated in China, why is that a problem?
It's something that is offensive. It is something that is offensive to many Americans. And so the reality is, instead of name calling, instead of pointing fingers, instead of talking about poll numbers,
let's be serious. Let's just talk about what we can get done. Let's be serious for a second here. You know, the MERS virus.
And look, let Asian folks get on TV and cape. It ain't our damn, Simone Sanders is not our goddamn representative. Okay, she ain't our fucking representative. Let Asian people get on TV and say what's racist and what's not. Don't be the damn mammy for every fucking body. Some niggas just want to be a mammy for any other person but black folks. You just dying to be a mammy. It ain't a black person's job to get out here caping for the damn Asians talking about what's offensive. Let them say that. Because, see, Asians don't want, a lot of the leaders of the Asian community, they don't want to get out there and start saying that because, see, they want to get their honorary white status back. So they don't want to go out there calling out racism too much because, see, they're fine with racism as long as the racism is being directed at black people. Asian people ain't got no problem with no damn racism as long as it's directed at black folks. So they don't want to call it out too much. So they go get a mammy like that to do it for them. You understand? This is what makes these mammies and bedwinches so goddamn dangerous, and we are not wrong for going in on them. These mammies are very dangerous, and Simone Sanders, big as hell, she's eating up all the fucking quarantine snacks, just on TV, big as a fucking house, husky as hell. Talking about, well, that's offensive to Asian, that's offensive to everybody. People are offensive. Shut the fuck up with your big husky ass. Damn. You wonder where all the damn food from the stores are. It's at Simone Sanders' house. Shit. That's why you can't find no toilet paper, no chitlins. She got them. God damn. But this thing, basically people have no problem geographically stigmatizing folks as long as they can geographically stigmatize black people. The coronavirus, calling it the China virus or the Chinese virus, that's okay. I have no problem with that because this shit did originate out of China. They over there eating bats and doing all types of nasty shit. So yeah, it is a Chinese virus. Miss me with all that. Well, that's going to create a stigma. Man, you guys create geographic stigmas that are negative about us all the time. Like I said, about all these African viruses, that stigmatizes black people. Even when they use Chicago as a geographical stigmatization, they use that to stigmatize black folks. They always throwing up Chicago. Anytime something happens to us, they're throwing up some goddamn Chicago. When Trayvon Martin got lynched by Zimmerman, and we were like, hey, how are we going to let this happen? All we kept hearing was, what about black on black crime in Chicago? What the fuck that got to do with anything? Well, what about, y'all ain't saying nothing about Chicago. What about Chicago? Tamir Rice just got shot. Well, what about Chicago? What about black on black crime in Chicago? What the fuck does that have to do with anything? So they use geography to stigmatize black folks all the time. They can hold their own nuts in China. I'm sorry. All of them can hold their own damn nuts. Miss me. Hold your own nuts and hold them with chopsticks. We don't owe you shit. And Simone Sanders is not our damn representative with her donkey mouth ass. She is not our representative. Y'all can put her on TV all you want to. She does not represent us at all. We don't need to be caping for nobody. We need to be circling our wagons, getting with other black people who are business owners and creating relationships with them. A lot of people out here trying to get toilet paper. All the toilet paper ran out. Family, there's a brother out there in Maryland. Brother Muhammad, he distributes toilet paper. He has a toilet paper and a paper towel company. It's called Freedom Paper out of Maryland. I met the brother when I was out there years ago. See, this is why when I go around I'm traveling and doing lectures and doing events around the country, see, I like to find out who the business people are. So when we need them, we have that plug. All y'all, if you're in Maryland or anywhere, because my man ships stuff and I just bought like 100 rolls of paper from my man the other day. My brother out there in Maryland, black-owned toilet paper company, Freedom Paper. Y'all Google that brother and get the plug right now. Google that brother right now. See, I like that. I like my brother. We get into the basic necessities business. See, a lot of times we start businesses and we do all these elaborate things. Like John Henry Clark said, we need to just start doing basic stuff, making our own underwear, making our own tissue, stuff with our basic necessities. We got to get down to the basics. Google Freedom Paper. There's a black dude who owns that. Some of y'all might know our brother. The Freedom Toilet Paper Company. The Freedom Paper Company. Support that brother. I just bought a gang of stuff from the brother the other day. And he ships nationwide. And I know my man is probably backed up right now, see? People probably said when he started his toilet paper business, they were like, toilet paper? What kind of shit is that? Now they're looking at him like, damn, brother, how can I be down? You need some employees? You dig? Also, all my L.A. people, y'all need to go to my family over at Redstone Firearms. If you're in L.A., all my L.A. people, y'all need to have y'all ass up at Redstone Firearms right now. Black-owned gun company. Gun company, gun sales, and gun training. Y'all need to be up at Redstone Firearms getting your home security in order. Because again, with the lockdown going on and these white supremacists out here trying to galvanize, because you don't know what these folks are going to do. There was an article that came out the other day. There was some white supremacists who are now trying to pivot and pretend that they're some type of coronavirus experts now. You got white supremacist groups who are out here trying to use this thing to really create a whole new nation. There was an article about this white supremacist who's trying to act like a coronavirus expert, and he was out here trying to plan on creating a whole new nation. And guess what the nation is going to be called? New Albion. They're talking about creating a new nation, calling it New Albion. That's from the, just from the, straight from Avoid the Machines. Y'all get the book from Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines talked about that. They're going to start, they want to start a new nation. See, they don't have a problem with all this shit going down. Some of these white supremacists, they want to see society fall so they can revamp it and restart it and create a whole new white supremacist nation. See, they want to get everything militarily locked down and militarily destroyed so they can start a whole new white supremacist nation, an open white supremacist nation. They're tired of all this old weak talk and all these codified terms. They just want it to be an open white supremacist nation. So we got to be very careful, because see, when they start enforcing these curfews and all of these mandatory quarantines, see, watch these words, mandatory, because see, they're going to be targeting us. Did y'all see down in spring break down there in Florida? They had spring break. I think there was one part of it in Clearwater, some down in Miami, but all through Florida, they were having spring break. Now, all these white folks weren't supposed to be out there. All these white kids, they're out there by the thousands, just untouched, nothing. They out there bragging about Corona. Well, if I get it, fuck it, dude. If I get fucking Corona, man, I'm going to fucking rock. They bragging about if they get Corona. They ain't got a care in the world. They out there on the news. They out there just by the thousands on the beach. They were told not to be on the beach. I think they had to close the beaches out there because the white kids won't stop going. So they're out there partying. Yeah, fucking A, dude. Fucking partying, man. They're going to get me some fucking, I'm going to drink Corona. I'm going to get Corona. I'm going to rock out with my cock out, dude. So they're not even giving a shit if they spread it or nothing. And nothing is happening to these folks. But I saw so many videos of black kids out there in Miami, young black folks getting the shit kicked out of them. Man, I kept seeing video after video, the cops just randomly jumping on black folks. Black people just standing around, the cops just coming, girls too, just beating up girls, jumping, just kicking niggas and beating them in the head, just literally for nothing. Just beating the shit out of black folks for nothing. Down there in spring break. So they're just letting you know what the game is going to be. And let me tell you something. And they know where they can get away with doing that shit. See, down there on Miami Beach. See, Miami Beach, Miami Beach itself is like an island to a certain degree. It's only one way in and one way out. You got to take like a little bridge to get over to Miami Beach. So you can lock that area down real quickly. And they know that a lot of people there don't know the terrain. A lot of people are visitors from out of town, so they go down there and do whatever they want to do to them. See, they know where to do that and where not to do that. They know where to do that and where not to do that stuff. That's why I always talk about LA. That's why I always talk about Los Angeles. See, you got to understand the military science. Y'all need to really study the Los Angeles riots. I want y'all to study the Los Angeles riots and study it from a military science standpoint. Because, see, the white supremacists, they don't tell you the truth about the L.A. riots. Yeah, they don't tell you the truth about the Los Angeles riots. They really don't. With the L.A. riots in 92, they give you the impression that it was just a bunch of wild, angry niggas running around South Central L.A., burning down grocery stores, burning down, quote unquote, their own community. That was the narrative. Nah. First of all, the stuff that was being burned down, the black folks didn't own that. See, they try to frame the narrative as if black folks were hurting themselves. The white supremacists took a loss during the LA riots. As a matter of fact, that was a battle that they lost. I'm going to say that again. See, the white supremacists, they're winning the war of white supremacy, but the LA riot, that was a battle that they lost. The white supremacists lost that battle. I want y'all to really understand. And I was there. I'm telling you from what I saw. And also from what I've studied from the research that they put out afterwards. But I was in the mix. I saw everything that was going down. The white supremacists, they judge wins and losses by the numbers of bodies that's out there. How many dead, how many alive? How many bodies got, and how many bodies died based on race? How many white folks died? How many black people died? That's how they judge wins and losses. That's how they judge wins and losses. There were more white people who died, who got killed during the LA riots. They try to tell you differently. They try to say that more black people got killed. But they bake the numbers, meaning what they do, they split up the white people. So the white Hispanics, they count them separately from the other white people. See, but they don't do that with the black people. So a lot of the black people who were killed, some of them were immigrants. They don't split them up. Just anybody who was black who died that week, they chop that up as a black person who got killed during the riots. And most of the black people who died during the riots, most of the black people were killed by either stray bullets or it was black people who were killed in car accidents. Some black people weren't even in LA. They were out in San Bernardino County. So one brother got shot out there in San Bernardino, didn't have anything to do with the riot. And they chopped that up to a riot associated death. And it wasn't. So they baked the numbers by counting every black person who just happened to die that week. For any random thing, they count that as somebody who died because of the riot, which isn't true. It's just not true. And then they try to separate whites by ethnicity. I'm telling you, more white people were killed during the riot. That's a loss for the white supremacists. They just don't want to admit that loss. Because, see, during the LA riot, that was a very strategic, it was a tactical guerrilla warfare strike by black people. You understand? The LA riots was a very tactical, strategic guerrilla warfare strike on white supremacist society. I'm going to say that again. The 1992 LA riots was a very strategic, tactical, guerrilla warfare strike. They don't want to admit that. See, the fires and all that stuff, those were used as distractions. The fires were used as distractions. See, in other cities, what happens is the police come out there in riot gear. They know where all the black folks are going to be in one spot. They'll get some coon leader, so-called leader, to go out there and direct everybody in one spot, and then the cops surround everybody and beat the shit out of them, put tear gas on them and all that. They couldn't do that in LA because the black folks didn't centralize themselves. And understand, it's impossible for an empire to try to compete against a guerrilla warfare offensive. Guerrilla warfare is all about hit and run tactics. You move. You're constantly moving. You're not in one place. You're doing surprise attacks. That was going on all over LA. I'm telling you, I'm giving y'all the game here. Study LA. Most of the killings and stuff were not in South Central LA. A lot of the killings were out in the suburbs. See, people, that's the problem. There were people going all out outside of South Central LA striking. That was the problem. There was a white woman up in Altadena. They ran up in her house and stabbed her. A white woman named Lucy Marinian, something like that. I think that's her name. Y'all Google that. She lived all the way in Altadena. Some brothers ran up in her house and stabbed her on up. They were going up in the suburbs, running up in white folks' houses. White man down in Long Beach, they popped him on a motorcycle. He was on a motorcycle. They shot him. They were getting white folks all out in the suburbs and all outside of L.A., outside of South Central. They were catching them in Hollywood, catching them up in the valley. A white cat up there in Pacoima, they got him. So it wasn't centralized. That was the danger of it. So that sent a clear message. That's why you don't see those type of beatings of black folks in L.A. like that, because they sent a message. And again, a lot of those killings were unsolved. A lot of those killings were unsolved. So the message was, okay, if you beat one of us again, well, there's going to be a price. If you beat one of us, we'll kill several of you. That was the message. So that was a deterrent. That's why you don't see that kind of shit out here. Yeah? That's why you don't see a lot of that. But they don't want to admit that that was a very tactical guerrilla warfare strike. You understand? Because that's all they understand. That's all they react to. So this is why they have to lock LA down first. So they got to start out here with the military lockdown. And like I said, later on today or either this weekend, they're going to have to start locking this thing down. They're going to start locking it down. And then it's going to spread throughout the entire country. So this is why we need to be supporting black businesses. We need to be supporting black folks who's doing business. We need to connect with other folks who got food connections, water connections, weapons connections, all that stuff. We need to get busy with that. You dig? And the reason why they're locking this thing down is because, again, this virus, even though some black folks have it, and notice this is another thing too. A lot of white folks who have it, they're very hush-hush about it. But the minute some kind of black celebrity, anybody gets it, boy, it's front page news. If an NBA player get it, I mean, that's the first thing they put in the news. They make that front page news. Idris Elba, he got it. A couple of basketball players, they got it. So they're making that front page news. But everybody else, they keep real quiet about it. I know a brother down there in Louisiana, he died because he had the coronavirus. But this brother he already had one foot in the grave and another foot at Popeye's Chicken. This brother was already sick. You dig? So we got to understand the game here. See, black folks, we got to get out of coon-rona mode. And we got to start getting into fighter mode. We better be ready to protect ourselves and protect our families. All this hardcore ass-kissing garbage, that's not going to help you. And running around, there's nobody to tell who you're being mistreated to. See, black folks, we got this thing where we want to run around and try to tell somebody how badly we're being mistreated. We got to get off that. Family, let's get off that. Understand and act like you're in a war. When you deal with these white supremacists, act like you're in a war. The thing is, we get around these white supremacists and we're like, oh, damn, I got some rights. Why are you doing me like this? Goddamn. Hell no. Why are you doing this to me? Man, you are in a war with these white supremacists. You got to look at yourself as being in warfare. Talking about you got rights and doing all that arguing, like Neely Fuller said, man, when the race soldiers run up on you, act like a prisoner of war. Act like you got caught between enemy lines in Vietnam. If you were in Vietnam during war and they get you behind enemy lines, what you gonna say? You, hell no, man. Hell no. Why are you doing this? Hell no. No, you act like a prisoner of war. Keep your mouth shut. And act like a prisoner of war. Going around talking about how badly you're mistreated. Now, I saw the relatives of that brother who got lynched by the governor of Alabama. It was a brother. They executed this brother down in Alabama who was completely innocent. They knew he was innocent. And the brothers, I think some of his female relatives, they ran up on that governor down there. She was doing some kind of press conference, and they ran up on her saying, "You killed my brother. You killed my brother." And then she walked off. Let me tell you how white folks would do. If there was a black mayor or governor who killed an innocent white man, if there was a black governor who killed an innocent white man, do you think that white man's family would walk up on that black governor trying to get them to understand what they did was wrong? That the white relatives would have ambushed that nigga. They would ambush him. If they were that close to him, they would blow his brains out. You understand how white folks think? I can respect that part of the game. White folks will put it all on the line for this. You ain't gonna mistreat them. See, they're not going to normalize mistreatment. Because, see, white people know if they're mistreated by the system, there's nobody to go tell. You understand? There are no higher ups. See, we got this thing where we know we're in a system of white supremacy. So what we do, we think we're going to find some sympathetic white person to help us. White people know if they get harmed systematically, there's nowhere else for them to go. So they're going to have to take that shit in their own hands. And that's what they do. See, we think there's some kind of sympathetic white person that's going to help us out if we just keep on telling them how bad we've been treated. It don't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. And let me tell y'all something. In a system of white supremacy, you're supposed to be mistreated if you're innocent. Black folks, part of white supremacy is harming innocent black people. Let me say that again. Part of white supremacy is coming up with ways to deliberately harm innocent black people who you know are innocent. That's what makes you supreme. See, it's easy to harm a guilty black person. Notice, white people don't really like harming guilty black people. A black person who's really guilty of something, they let him go to jail or they let him go in and out of jail. Black people who are guilty, they damn near get a pass. Black people who have a long rap sheet, notice they're in and out of jail. Look at Shitty Cuz. That nigga was in and out of jail for all types of shit. That nigga was a known killer out here on the streets of LA, in and out of jail. A guilty nigga, no, that's too easy. Nah, it ain't the same thing punishing a guilty Negro who has a long rap sheet. It ain't the same punishing him, a black person who deserves to be punished. Nah, it don't. It hit different. See, the white supremacy hit different when you get an innocent black person and then punish him. Like a Trayvon Martin. See, the white supremacists love that because they know Trayvon Martin was innocent. They know that. So killing an innocent kid just walking home with candy, oh, they love that. They love harming innocent black people. Tamir Rice, they love getting away with harming innocent black people. The more innocent, the more sweet it is. All those black people who got lynched, they knew they were innocent. That was the whole sweetness of it. We're supreme, so we can go pick a nigga, and because we say he's guilty, he don't even have to do nothing, but we say he's guilty, and can't nobody stop us. Can't nobody stop us. That's the sweet thing of white supremacy. Now, when they tried it with Rodney King, because Rodney King, he was innocent. He was just speeding. But they thought, okay, we'll beat this nigga's ass out here. And the city of LA said, no, you're not. If you try that shit here, well, you're going to get $1 billion worth of damage and you're going to get dozens of white people killed too. So we want to play this game. Let's play it. They said, oh, shit, we can't do that. This is why after the L.A. riots, because they took a loss. I'm going to say it again. The white supremacists took a loss with the L.A. riots. This is why they wanted to go after O.J. This is why they were so hell-bent on going after O.J. After that murder, they wanted to pin this on O.J. They knew O.J. was innocent. Even now, they know O.J. is innocent. O.J. did not kill those people. I've broken that down several times. Again, the sweet part of the game is getting an innocent person and making him guilty. So with O.J., they knew O.J. didn't do it, but it was a sweet thing for them. They were going to get revenge on the black people of L.A. because of the riots. They were going to get O.J., who was a beloved, well-known black person, a high-profile black person, and make him guilty for these murders they know he did not do. And they had their lead white supremacist, Mark Furman, there planting all the evidence. If y'all niggas think O.J. killed them people, you a dumb fucking coon. If you think O.J. really killed those people, you are a stupid-ass coon. OJ didn't kill them people. Just listening to white people tell you that over and over again don't make it true. OJ didn't have a scratch on his damn body. It was impossible to kill two people like that with a fucking knife and not get no scratches on your body. That's that super nigga shit that they try to put on black folks. We can do all these crazy ass crimes. OJ didn't kill those damn people. Everybody, Ron and Nicole, they were around nothing but criminals. Everybody around those people were criminals. That's why they didn't have none of their friends testify at that trial. I've talked about this and broken this down several times. OJ did not kill those damn people. Ron and Nicole, these people were hooked in with all types of drug dealers, mafioso type of people. Several of their friends got killed the same way as them. OJ didn't kill those people. And the thing is, the white supremacists tried to get OJ and it backfired again. It wasn't going to happen. See, they weren't going to move the trial out to an all-white city like they did with Rodney King. See, the city of LA sent a message to him. If you move the trial out here to one of these little white suburbs, we got more smoke for your ass. The black people of LA let them know. Try that bullshit you did with Rodney King. We got more smoke. So they had to have it in L.A. County. That's why it was a fair trial. The O.J. trial was a very fair trial. They weren't going to use those bullshit shenanigans by moving it to an all-white racist-ass place like Simi Valley with a bunch of retired cops. Simi Valley's racist as fucking hell out there. They were doing all these little dirty ass tricks and it backfired on them. And then when OJ was found not guilty, which he was, that really broke their spirits. You understand? They really, really took a loss on that one. But the name of the game with the white supremacists is harming innocent black people. The black person, if they're innocent and they get to punish them and make them guilty just by their word, by saying they're guilty because I'm white and I say so, that's the sweet part of it. That's why we got to be very careful, because now that they're getting these mandatory curfews and mandatory quarantines, black people, if you're just outside at this point, they're going to try to use that to criminalize you. So just being outside, they can say, okay, you're committing a crime, so now I can harm you. You understand? And some of y'all dudes out here, I saw a video of some guy, look, he was in college or something, and he had some kind of one of his friends up at his dorm or something, and the cops were roughing his ass up, and he looked kind of moist. That's another thing. Being moist ain't gonna save you. Y'all think all this non-binary talk and all that bullshit is going to somehow ingratiate you with the white supremacists and they're going to take it easy on you? No, they're not. And this is for the everyday average black person. That's not going to work for you. It might appear to work for some people like Andrew Gillum. Now, Andrew Gillum, he was in a situation
As you know, and I talked about this before, Andrew Gillum he got caught down there in a hotel with a naked, with a room full of dudes and a male escort, damn near half dead because they got some bad drugs. And because of Gillum's connections with the Democratic Party, you know, they gave him a slap on the wrist. So Gillum had the erection for the protection. In this situation, Gillum did have the erection for the protection because he's a Democratic shill. He's a Democratic tool. So they need that nigga right now. So they can't punish him now because, see, they're trying to push this agenda on black folks too much. So they can't show one of their LGBT operatives getting punished. So he had the erection for the protection right now. So they can't revoke it yet because they still need that. So they had him in a compromising situation at a hotel down there in Florida with a bunch of dudes, and they're trying to chop that up as well. Gillum was drinking too much. He had a little too much to drink, and he's going to go to rehab for drinking too much. Nigga, what the fuck kind of drink are you drinking to make you naked in a room full of dudes? Because they keep leaving that part of the game out. They keep talking about how drunk he was and he didn't know what was going on, but they keep leaving out the fact that he's in a room full of dudes and there's all types of blood and feces on the bed sheets. There was pussy juice all over the room, and they're trying to act like, okay, well, he just had a couple of Michelobes. No, nigga, I don't know what kind of drink that makes you naked in a room with pussy juice all over the damn sheets, nigga. What drink is that? Name that drink. Not a Ciroc, but the Ciroc. That nigga was drinking Ciroc. Nigga, what? How many bottles of Ciroc did you have, my nigga? Damn. How many bottles did you have? What the fuck kind of drinks are you drinking, nigga? I'm sorry. Shit. Nigga, put the bottles of Ciroc down, dude. Damn. But this dude, again, he had the erection for the protection, so they're giving him a pass temporarily because they still got to get some mileage out of him. They still got to get some mileage out of Gillum, so they're giving him a pass on this one. But we got to watch this stuff. Speaking of Ciroc and all this stuff, Marvel Comics, they got some kind of shit where they got some non-binary characters that, you notice all of these Disney and all these people, Marvel and all these people, they keep coming out with these LGBT characters. They got Lena Waithe. She's playing some kind of gay, the first openly gay cartoon character. Then they got the brother from that show, Atlanta. He's playing some kind of gay superhero. Now Marvel, they got some kind of cartoon characters that's supposed to be non-binary. And watch these words. Non-binary, that's just a way to say gay without sexualizing it. Because when you say gay or trans or bi, see, that immediately has a sexual connotation. So now they're trying to use the term non-binary. Watch that term now. That's a term that's going to be used a lot. Non-binary is gay, but it tries to take away the sexual connotation of it. Watch that term. All of these terms are basically to promote non-procreative sex to black people. Notice all of these non-procreative sexual agendas are being used with black people as the face. Black people are being the face of non-procreative sex, meaning sex with same-sex folks or non-binary or whatever the hell you want to call them. All of that boils down to non-procreation. You cannot procreate with that type of sex. Remember, the trans movement, which is the transhumanism movement, all of that is an offset and a refinement of the eugenics movement. The eugenics movement was to stop black procreation. So what they're trying to do now, they're stopping black procreation by making it seem like it's some type of cool alternative lifestyle. You understand? So we have to call that stuff out. I showed something on my Instagram the other day. I showed something on my Instagram because, again, y'all know they keep talking about how they're going to start teaching LGBT history in schools and all this shit. And my son, you know, he's in preschool, and they gave them some paper to spell body parts, like fingers, nose. They would show the body parts, and you got to, they were supposed to spell the body parts. So there was one image of, it was a person's body, and it had large feet, but there were no genitals there. So all you could see on the body part, you could see the arms, the torso, and small legs and feet. But it was anatomically correct. So there was no gender to it. Now, I don't know why they had to show the entire body of this character. All they could have showed was the feet. They just could have showed the feet. But they showed the whole body, and the body didn't have any type of gender to it. So, you know, my son, you know, he saw this. He's a kid. He's only 7. He don't know what a vagina looks like. He's never seen a vagina before. But he knows what his pee-pee looked like. So my son drew a damn ding-a-ling on there. He drew a ding, like, this, something is missing here. So he drew a damn ding-a-ling. And the teacher gonna send me the shit. Like, hey, have you seen this? I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is the problem? Instinctively, kids know, hey, something ain't right here. When you start trying to do this old genderless bullshit, kids instinctively know, hey, something's supposed to be here. Something is missing. So what the fuck you sending me this shit for? Yeah, he drew a damn ding-a-ling, which is, if he drew a pussy, then we'd have a little meeting, but he drew what he sees in the mirror. Now, if he drew a bussy, then call me. Then we're going to really have a talk. But no, he drew what he's supposed to draw. So get the fuck out my face. You dig? Yeah, don't send me no shit back like I'm supposed to talk to him. He drew what the fuck he's supposed to draw. Man. Fuck y'all. What is this shit y'all trying to push? You understand? Yeah, the shit didn't have any clothes. It was weird. Y'all go to my Instagram. It's on my Instagram. Y'all can see it. Y'all go to my Instagram. See, kids know. See, black folks, we got to cut the shit, man. Let's stop letting these people promote this bullshit to us. Man, and act like we got some fucking sense out here. This is why this shit's going to hell in a handbasket, because these white supremacists, they've lost their minds, and the universe is fighting back right now. That's why this virus is taking over and society is going all crazy. The universe is fighting back, guys. The universe is like, hey, enough is enough. It's time to correct this planet right now and stop the bullshit. Anyway, man, y'all, everybody hit the subscribe button. Hit that subscribe button below. And guys, the new Mink Slide album, it's called Crushed Velvet. It's going to be available April 10th. That's when it goes on sale. The pre-sale goes on sale Monday. I want all of y'all to go to iTunes and Google Play and purchase the pre-sale. The album is only like $8.99. So everybody get that pre-sale Monday. The video for the album. And I'm glad we shot our video one day before the clubs and everything were supposed to shut down. The day after we did our video, they start shutting down all the clubs. So we got our video done right on time. So it was meant to be. So the album is a fly album, man. While you guys are on quarantine, y'all can bump that with your families and enjoy some good, cool R&B music, some old school vibe, and get down with that. As far as the Foundation of Black American Conference, I still want to have it. I don't know what the government's trying to do. I'm just waiting to hear what they're going to do, how long this thing is going to last. I still want to have the conference. I done paid for every damn thing. So, shit, I want to have it. The venue is paid for already. Everybody's tickets and hotels are paid for. All that shit is 100% paid for. So, I want to have it. I don't want to lose all that damn money. I done spent a gang of money putting this shit together. So, I want to have it. I want to have it. I hope we can still have it, just depending on what the government says. If we, I mean, today they said people, we're not supposed to travel internationally now. They just put that out today. They said U.S. citizens should not fly out of the country now. So this shit is getting crazy. So I don't know what's going on. So yeah, I want to have it. So we're just waiting to see what the government is saying, what they're going to do with this thing. Hopefully we'll be good to do it. So I'm still, everybody's losing money. Yeah. Everybody's losing money as far as this stuff. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, man, in the meantime, get that Mink Slide album, get the pre-order next Monday. You can pre-order it next Monday. And I will talk to you guys Sunday on the stream. And y'all have a good afternoon and be safe. Peace.